pumped that you're with us. At this moment, I mentioned the Steelers, but there's no use, church. There's no use. So we'll skip that portion of the service. Come on. We're pumped that you're here. And if you're new to BC, this is how we roll, man. We're blessed that you are in this house this morning. I love Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I love that, man. I love Psalm 122:1 because I get glad, man. I rejoice. Like Sunday is my favorite day of the week. I get to come in here with the community and with family and shake hands and give high fives and see kids and just a place of joy and just hear the worship over in Kingdom Kids and what's going on over there. And it just get to see people that you love and you're connected to and you're in family with and your relationship with. Man, I tell you what, I love that scripture. I was glad, man. I rejoiced. I was overjoyed when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I hope that you're at BC because you want to be here, because you love this community, because you're loving church again. You're coming to a place to see family. Listen, we all got bumps and bruises. There's always speed bumps along the way, but the big picture is we're glad you're here, and we want to build you up. We want to walk in a place, a sense of community, and man, we're pumped that we're a part of something special here in this region, man. Come on. We're in this series. I believe God is going to bless us as we walk out of this place. I really do. I've got just something just to share in my heart. And I want you to hear this. This here is the word of God. It is alive and powerful, not written by man's idea, but it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be absolutely true and accurate. And if we set it in, amen, we eat on it today and we feed on it today and we feed our soul the word today, amen. We walk out of this place going, oh, I need to own my moment. What does it mean to own your moment? And this is the series that we're in. We saw it last week with the shepherds and how they owned their moment, man. They were just doing what they do on a hill, man. And then all of a sudden an angel showed up and then a whole host of angels showed up and they're like, "Woo! This is not the night that we were expecting." Bang, they go see this little baby and then it just, this is their moment. They owned their moment. And then we were kind of going backwards now to a place of what was Joseph's moment. Man, we're going to do a little history lesson in regards to Nazareth, Joseph, and we're going to just read this story, and then we're going to dive into this. Father, help us in this. Please help us to understand this word. Speak to us in this moment. Your word is beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's such an incredible, incredible true story with very real people who are just like us. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Look at this. Matthew 1, verse 18 says this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and you shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her virgin until she gave birth to the son and called his name Jesus. So we look at this. This is the Christmas story. This is one individual in Joseph. And you've got to understand Joseph's story, man. And you got to understand what this looks like for Nazareth, right? We know that Joseph and Mary are from Nazareth. This is their hometown. Nazareth was not big city. Nazareth was not a major hub where everybody went to, right? In Jesus' day, watch this now. In Jesus' day, maybe 400 people were a part of Nazareth. Maybe. Church, that's a high school, right? I mean, that's the whole village is 400 people. So when you go into this and you backstudy this and you look into what was Joseph and Mary's day, man, what did this look like in Nazareth when this story begins to unfold and this story begins to develop? You look into this, it's a big deal that this was a small little place that even in John 1, someone said, oh, he could be from Nazareth. Could anything come good from Nazareth? Like, There's nothing good in Nazareth. They didn't have a great reputation for Nazareth. It was a no place, and no one of importance came from Nazareth. So you look at this, and you see Joseph in this story, who's from Nazareth, and look at this, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, and she was to be found with child. So you've got this little place, and we're going to focus for a minute on what does it mean to be betrothed. Right? We have engagement. You find somebody, awesome, I like you, you like me, you love Jesus, I love Jesus, we worship Almighty God, I know that you're going to take care of me, provide for me, will you marry me? Yes, I will. Let's set it up and let's go through this. Sweet, good, hopefully that's the way that it works and we live happily ever after. That is not the case of Jesus' day. Most likely, this was an arranged marriage. Most likely, you had mom and dad on this side. And you had mom and dad on this side. You got Joseph, who's probably older than Mary. Mary at this stage is said to be anywhere between 12 and 16. Could you imagine being arranged at 12 years old to go get married? At 12, I can't even fathom that. I can't swallow that. I don't understand that. Like at 12, and you're thinking, oh my goodness. But this is the true story of this. This is the back history of this. Like they probably saw Mary, and they probably saw Joseph and the parents of both. Joseph was probably older than Mary. And then could you imagine, watch this now, could you imagine in a town of 400, like your options are limited. Like your search begins before 12. Someone just had a baby. Let's go check out the baby. Like there's just like, you know, you're already gearing up for that one day of the arrangement because options are so limited. Seriously, when you got a town and there's only 400 people and then there's a birth and we give birth kind of around the same time and no one's given birth for a while, your options are pretty clear that you're going to be your husband or wife one day because this was usually an arranged marriage. And then the betrothal went like this, where then there was the season where we agreed to say, okay, Joseph and Mary, as parents, we're arranging that you guys are going to be husband and wife. But then there's this ceremony that took place of signing the betrothal, where this was a signed binding agreement, where there was a price to be paid for the bride. Now, the groom's family had to pay the bride's family a price. It was called the bride price. For this family, and it was this bride price that the groom's family was giving and paying a specific amount of money that they agreed upon for the bride. It wasn't like you were buying the bride, but these finances went towards the ceremony of the marriage. The finances went towards if something drastic would take place and there was a divorce, that the bride would have some type of cushion financially. I mean, it was an incredible system that they had set up, and there was this bride price, then everybody signed on the dotted line with witnesses that there's this betrothal agreement, and then that usually lasted about a year's time before the actual wedding ceremony, and in that year's time, they were considered to be married, that the only way, because of the binding agreement, that they could be separated is by a legal divorce. But in that, about a year's time period, there was no consummating, there was the wedding, there was no sex in that year period of betrothal. That was for the celebration of the wedding night, which was about a week-long celebration of a wedding. I mean, it was, you look at this, and this is really a big deal, to be betrothed. You know what that means? My life is set. I know what I'm going to do, and I know who I'm going to do it with. Our life is good. We live in this little tiny place, man, and it's said that this little tiny place was usually the lower class, some farmers, maybe some craftsmen. They did their thing. They paid their taxes. They didn't make a big ripple. They worked hard all day. They went to bed. They woke up. They worked hard all day. It was just a no place from nowhere where people just did their thing. And you got Joseph going, all right, mom and dad, oh, I think you picked me a winner. She's great. I really love this girl. I'm betrothed to this girl. It's time to set our plans forward to what's going to happen in our lives. I'm this carpenter, and it was probably maybe out of wood, most likely out of stone figures or different things for stone. And then there's a moment that just rearranged all of their plans. See, let's look at this. It says this. Verse 18 again. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, and his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. I mean, you could imagine the excitement. You could imagine life is set for this girl. He's got a job. I know he respects the Lord. I know that he walks right with God. And Joseph is like, I've got my girl. She's a virgin. She's pure, which was a huge, huge deal. Old Testament, guess what? Guess what? It's a huge deal today. And then all of a sudden, it says this, before they came together, she was found to be with child. She realized that there's this pregnancy that took place. And at this moment, Joseph hasn't had his dream yet. At this moment, Joseph is beginning to unravel a little bit in a sense of what is going on with my little box life, man. What is happening where it was me and Mary and we were moving forward and things were good and our life was on path. And then all of a sudden comes to find out that she'd been playing. It comes to find out in my little village, well, instead of looking right to her, listen, I know everybody in my village. Who could have done this to my wife? I mean, you got to put yourself in Joseph's shoes here. This wasn't like, oh, okay, she's pregnant. Okay, see you later. No, this was a serious deal where they actually had law that she could actually be stoned and shamed in front of her family, in front of the whole village. You could bring her out according to the law and have her stoned. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. And you look around and you think, Was it you? Was it? Did you do this to my life? I thought I saw you looking at Mary funny. But these are emotions that go through. And when you come to a place, honestly, when you come to a place to believe that you have, I would consider one of the most heartbreaking incidents in your life, something that just breaks you. Like the worst news possible. I'm thinking about this week and I look at, there's really two types of bad news. There's tragic news that most of the time isn't by your choice. Tragedy is a tragedy. It happens. It's horrible. It's a doctor's report. It's this type of report. It's an accident. And you get the phone call you never, ever want to take because of a tragedy. But then there's the betrayal hurt. Then there's that sense of betrayal, that sense of brokenness, that sense of hurt, that sense of shame. How could she do this to me? How could she betray me? How could she find another? Was she raped? Did she go to a local town that's nearby? And what happened on this? There has to be a story to this. No way I would think that she would do this. I trusted her. My parents trusted her. Her parents trusted me. Like, and then you feel the two different types of hurt. And I think the tragic one is one that you can get over, but it's the betrayal one that sticks to your ribs. And here you've got Joseph walking in the shoes where he has an option in this moment to take her out to the streets to have her stoned because she's been such a disgrace. You have shamed your parents. You have shamed my parents. You have shamed my name. And then anger rides up and bitterness rides up and just this is. But we see. And I want to. Catch something here. I don't want you to miss this. I want you to watch this. Look at this. Verse 18. Before they came together. And I'm reading this week, and I'm diving in and this. And I need the young people here to listen, and I need the teenagers to listen, and I need those who are single in this place and haven't been married to listen. And this is just a heads up today. To know that before they ever got married, they stayed pure. Listen, you got to understand this. That's a huge deal in the Old Testament. It was a huge deal to stay pure in the Old Testament before marriage. It was a big deal. Guess what it is in the New Testament? Young people, it's a big deal. God counts it as a big deal to stay pure before marriage. God counts it as, listen, your body is not your own. Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? What you do with your body, it matters as a believer, as a Christian. It matters what you feel like you can do with your body. And you got to come to this place. Watch this now. You got to come to a place to understand Old Testament and New Testament. Don't get caught up in today's day. Don't get caught up on the things on television. Don't get caught up with the different ideas of the music. Don't get caught up in what everyone else is doing. Don't get caught up in the loosey-goosey of today that it's okay. Don't you dare get caught up in the articles that are currently being written and how good it is for you to have sex before you're married. It's actually better for your marriage that you actually had sex with other people before you actually got into marriage. Church, that is an absolute, complete, and total lie. Amen. And young people, you got to know this because it was a big deal here in this story that he remained pure. And he was thinking that she has been remained pure. It's a big deal in this story. It's a big deal in the New Testament. And it should be a big deal to us. I think there's a moment here for Joseph to plug into here. He's got a moment. He's got a decision to make. Now watch this. I want you to see this. And Joseph, her husband being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her. I love this. It gives us a real good picture of Joseph. Why did God pick Joseph? Because Joseph was a righteous man. He understood Old Testament. He knew Old Testament. He studied Old Testament. He walked in an Old Testament fear of God. He walked in this reverence to God. He understood what it was to be right according to what God says is right and act accordingly as a man. He understood that. And we see something here where him being in that place of feeling like he has been betrayed, feeling like she has turned her back, feeling like she's been out playing, feeling like someone has come against his house, and all of that. This shows and reveals something so significant about Joseph and who Mary was to him. Believing that she's played, believing that she's now pregnant by another man. But because he was a righteous man, watch this now. Not wanting to disgrace her, he planned to send her away secretly. He didn't bring her out to the streets to shame her. He didn't bring her out to the streets to stone her. He didn't bring her out to the streets to say, you filthy this and you filthy that and how dare you and you. No. He had such a love for Mary. Man, we could have had something. I set up my whole business. I set up my whole world. I've been working in this betrothal for this. We could have had something. But I'm not going to disgrace you. I'm going to send you away quietly. And I love the reality of this picture is that this was a temporary fix. He's looking at this going, what's the next right thing to do? Because eventually she'd be showing. Eventually people would realize that the child isn't his because he put her away secretly, didn't have her killed, wasn't shaming her, didn't want to disgrace her in this moment, in this fragile moment. He just said, listen, I need you to send you away quietly. I'm not going to shame you because we had something. Watch this. Here it is, right here. Here's the moment. But when he had considered this, I love the word consider. When you break down the scripture, he had considered this. It means he's been pondering this and he'd been going over this. What do I do? What am I going to do? Do I put her out? Do I put her out quietly? Do I shame? Like when he had considered this, when he had come to this place to really, really think on this and ponder this and come to this, like he, in his mind, he's considering. And we don't know exactly the time frame of this. We know Mary, when she found out she was pregnant, woo, she jumped up and down. It's a crazy story. We're going to talk about that next week. And she runs off to Elizabeth for 3 months, So I believe that this is within that 3-month period that this is all being revealed. She's not showing yet. Things aren't coming out yet. The baby bump isn't coming yet. It's 3 months. She's pumped. She's juiced. She's excited. She's with Elizabeth. And then all of a sudden, Joseph is pondering this and considering this and figuring out what to do. And I love this. Watch this. Watch this. For when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And I'm reading this and I'm like, God, wouldn't it have been easier for Joseph if honestly you let him know the plan ahead of time? Right? I mean, think about this. Like, this is after she's pregnant. He's contemplating this and thinking on this and going over this and coming up with a, you want to talk about stress, you want to talk about anxiety, you want to talk about hurt, you want to talk about wanting to just, you know, hurt somebody, you want to talk about all of these emotions that are going through. Like, wouldn't it have been easier if honestly the angel Lord showed up 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever the time is, that before this took place, God said, hey, Joseph, hey, listen, this is the deal, man. I know that she's going to be your wife, and I know that she's betrothed, but listen, she's not pregnant yet, and you're not going to have anything to do with this. My spirit is going to come on her, and there's going to be this amazing, amazing pregnancy, but I just want you to know that it's of me. Don't sweat it, bro. It's all good. Like, that would have been a real good heads up. But God's way isn't our ways. Isn't it amazing? Watch this now. Isn't it amazing? God knew how he would respond. God knows everything. This wasn't a test for Joseph. God isn't going, man, I wonder how he'd respond to this. Because, you know, I picked him as the one to raise up my son. I got to just see what kind of man he is. God knows everything about us. He knows every inch of our lives before we were ever born. God knows all things. So why would he do this to Joseph? Maybe for Joseph to own this moment that built momentum for the next moment. When you look at this, Joseph had to know what his reaction was going to be to this so that he could properly react to the next, and then he could properly react to the next. And when the angel drops this bomb on Joseph, 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 listen. She's not been playing around. Joseph, look, look, I love this. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, this is verse 20, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, watch this now, for she will bear a son. And this is, church, this is when the moment gets real. This is when Joseph has to own a part of scripture, where Joseph has to own a part of history. That's his moment. She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This is Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Could you imagine the dream? Could you imagine this angel sent from God to Joseph? And then this is a moment. This is his moment that he has to own. I know of this story. I've read of this story from the prophet Isaiah. You mean Mary's the virgin in this story? That you're telling me that God, your son, the Messiah, the anointed one, who's coming to save his people from all of our sin, like, I'm in this story. It's me at this. Listen, I'm a carpenter, man. I just want to hew out some stuff from rock, maybe work with some wood, raise up my family in this little no place from nowhere. What? Could you imagine what happens? What happens in this place where Joseph is when his eyes and his heart have been enlightened that Joseph, you're the guy. Mary's the one. And then you look at the responsibility. You mean, I understand I'm not the Father, you are the Father. He is your Son 100%, but you're laying it on my shoulders and you're putting this in my house, that I'm the one who has to be the overseer of Jesus. I'm the one who has to teach and train Jesus. I'm the one who has to protect and care for Jesus. I mean, what would that be for you and I in that moment? You picked me? And you come to a place, you see this moment when he took this, because he owned this. And in our moment, church, when you have your moment, there becomes sacrifice. In your moment, there becomes obedience. And you come to this place here because, look at verse 24, then Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. See, he took all of this in and said, okay, I don't know why, but I'm going to take in this child of God into my home. And matter of fact, and I love this part because I see where he awoke from the dream. And again, maybe this might have been at the 3-month mark. She's not really showing yet. And I see that he woke up and immediately took her as his wife. The betrothal thing ended quickly and they went right into a marriage. And I love this because I believe that this was Joseph's heart. And sometimes I hear that there's a way that we would think that maybe, man, she must have had such a horrible upbringing and Jesus must have had such a horrible upbringing. Jesus must have been called every name in the book. You have no dad. Your mom's this and your mom did this. And what a blankety blank, blank, blank your mom must have been. And we hear these people who read the story and they add things to the story that don't exist. They add things to say, well, Jesus must have grown up with such a horrible childhood with everybody in that little town knowing his whole story. Well, I don't read that. When he's 30, he comes back to his hometown. And they're like, who is this? Isn't this just Joseph and Mary's son? Who does he think he is? He's no one special. He comes in and starts talking and teaching in the synagogue and doing miracle after miracle. Like he's nobody. He's just Joseph and Mary's son. You don't ever see in scripture where he was pegged as not Joseph's son. So I love this about Joseph. When he owned the moment, he took it upon himself to cover husbands. What's it look like to cover your wife? He covered his wife that there wouldn't be shame. The village wouldn't be talking about her. Immediately he woke up and took her as his wife. Didn't have any relationships with her. People didn't know that. And just a short time later, here she's given birth in Bethlehem. But realize, just remember, just people can go into the whole time clock. Well, if it was, maybe it was 6 months and people would have figured it out. He didn't ever go home for might have been up to 2-year period. So even when he did make it back to Nazareth, it was probably a 2-year period from the time that he married her, from the time that he got back. So I love this. And I'm just like, what are we doing as men? Are we covering our wives so there's no shame? Are we covering our wives so there's no guilt? What happens when you own the moment? See this man named Joseph. We don't know a whole lot about him. He's not talked about very much. When Jesus is 12, it's the last time we see a Joseph. But we know enough to know that he cared so deeply for his wife. Honey, there's not going to be any shame on you. Now, people, until the right timing, my game plan is that people not to think that you went and played around, that you went and cheated on me. No. For the time being, plan is that he's mine. Because Because you see in scripture where when Jesus came back, isn't that just Joseph and Mary's son? Like it was no big story. Inquirer didn't get the picture there, right? They didn't come in. Social media wasn't created to make all kinds of stories up. It was just Joseph and Mary's son. That's who he was. And then you see where he goes off to Bethlehem, and then we know the story that Jesus is born, and then we see the picture where another angel shows up in a dream, says, "You can't go home, Joseph. Herod's after Jesus, and I need you to go to Egypt." Hosea 11:1 says, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." Here, Joseph, we're actually going to fulfill a couple 700-year-old prophecies through you. See, I believe that when you own your moment, watch this now, when you own your moment, whatever moment that is, wherever you're at in this place this morning, that you know that, man, there's things that I need to do, or there's this moment, maybe it's even salvation for you this morning, that you would come to a place to own that moment of salvation, to know, Jesus, you died for me in my place because of my sin. God, you love me with such a love that you would send your only begotten son to put himself on a cross that I may never, ever have to fear death, and I would have eternal life with you because of your love, because of your mercy, because of your grace, and how beautiful. Maybe that's your moment today. I'm not looking at your religion. I'm not looking at where you go to church. You're here this morning. I'm not looking at how much you've ever given to church. None of that is a place to understand. It is about our relationship with Jesus Christ who put himself on the cross. Maybe that's your moment, but in your moment, there's sacrifice. In your moment, there's obedience. And watch this, in your moment, when you know that you need to own your moment, it builds momentum. Because Joseph needed momentum to own his first moment. Oh, okay, son of God in my house, raising up God's son, Jesus from the Old Testament is here. Now I gotta, whoo, I need to take it all in. But in that, it led to not going back home, going, seriously, we gotta run away off into Egypt. It might have been up to 2 years. See, when you own your moment, it leads to momentum so that you can, it's not just one moment. You own your next moment, and that leads to momentum to get through that moment. Whatever sacrifice you have to make, whatever idea of obedience looks like in that moment, you can own it. And we see that here in Joseph. Let's just bow your heads, we'll close up. I mentioned the teenagers, and that's not just teens, it's young adults who are single and have remained single, and you're walking into place in your young adult years that you really have come to place to make a commitment. You see your body is not your own. And you see your body as one day belonging to your wife, or your body belonging to your husband, because it ultimately belongs to the Holy Spirit, which reigns and dwells within you. And I could just say this. What happens when you own your own moment as a young person? And listen, all heads bowed, but if you're of that age, just I need you to look at me. Teenagers, or you've come to that place to be a young adult, you're not married yet, just look at me. I can't really see you, so I just need you to pay attention. I need you to hear this, because I just, and just, even last night, just walking through just the sanctuary and just praying and just seeing what God can do in this moment. That there's a moment that you're going to have to own. And that moment is a no. You're going to have to own the moment when he or she comes. Women, honestly, young ladies have almost been as pushy towards sex as men have become. It's just, it's crazy what's happening right now. So men, you got to own your no. Young ladies, I'm begging you, own your no. Own your moment, and in that moment, it has to be no. No, you see, we're not married yet. No, you see, there's this special day, and guess what? I have a gift, and I can only give it once, and it's my virginity, and it really is to my husband one day. It really is to my wife one day, and this is where I'm functioning. You come to this place to realize Old Testament and New Testament is so, so important, and it's a big deal, and it's stressed so much to own your moment, and maybe your moment needs to be a no. If you're in a relationship and they just keep pushing and they just keep pushing, male or female, and they just keep pushing, you need to make a serious decision. because eventually it's going to be difficult to own your moment of no. And just talk to the young man, it's on you. The young man of that relationship, it's on you. Keep your hands off of that girl. Keep your hands in your pocket. I'm serious. Keep your eyes on Jesus and you keep your hands in your pocket. Yeah, try to go so far when your hands are stuck in your pocket. Good luck. Seriously. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you keep your hands in your pocket and you will own your no. Because I see where it was, it's a huge part of this story. Young person, it's a huge part of the Christmas story. It's a huge part of Joseph's life. To know what it meant to him and what it meant to Mary. Well, what does it mean to you? Come on, everyone, just bow your heads. Father, we just come to you in this moment. And God, we're going to own our moments. There'll be moments in life that we need to own. Some of them may be walking in obedience to a yes. Some of them may be walking in obedience to a no in every caliber of these moments. Man, but if you're in this place this morning, man, you're here and you say, I don't even know Jesus. I never really came to that place, Simone. I've been in church all my life. I've gone to this church or that church. I've been given all my life, but I've never come to that place to really, really grasp that it's not by my works. It's not by my church attendance. It's not by my tithes and offerings. It is because God loved me and he wants a relationship with me and Jesus died for me. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person who's ever had breath swims in the same pond of sin. No one's exempt. No one's better. No one's worse. We all stink in sin. But God had such a love for mankind, his creation, that he would send his only begotten Son so that we might be in relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. It's not by system. It's not by deeds. It's not by being good enough. It's not by giving enough. It's only through Jesus and that relationship that we have with him. He doesn't complicate it. He makes it simple for a child to know, listen, I'm in sin, and sin separates. But Jesus, your blood covers my sin, and you save. His name shall be called Jesus, which means God saves. God, you save through Jesus. If you're in this place, just like I just need Jesus, you come to a place just to simply in your heart, God, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn from my sin. I acknowledge sin has separated me from you. And Jesus, I believe in you. You came. You put yourself on a cross as payment for my sin. Jesus, you're the only way to salvation. I confess this moment. I confess that you are Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would come. Just live within. And I'll own my moment. I'll own my moment. Jesus, thank you. Come on, amen, church. Amen.